Let's get started. I'll have a word of prayer and we'll get to our lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us from your word. Just open to us the scriptures this morning that we would see Paul in action and his faith, and just help us to grow in you. In your name, amen. Last week we looked at Saul and a changed man and a life turned around by God. And he's on a new mission. Instead of breathing out threats against believers, he began preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And today we're going to look at Paul, formerly Saul, in Acts chapter 16 and his faith in action. And as we read and study this chapter, we'll ponder, do our actions display our faith? And do people see our faith in action as we live our daily lives among friends, relatives, co-workers, your neighborhood, wherever? So let's look at Acts chapter 16 and we'll read that. And Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to my Asia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by my Asia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics and a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. And following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs, which it is not lawful for us to accept or observe, being Romans. And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God and his whole household. Now when day came, the chief magistrates sent their policemen, saying, "Release those men." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The chief magistrates have sent to release you, therefore come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison, and now they are sending us away secretly? No, indeed, but let them come themselves and bring us out." And the policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates. They were afraid when they heard they were Romans. And they came and appealed to them, and when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. It's quite a story of Paul in action here, and it's just a very precious story, and we see many instances of him following the Lord. Verses 1 through 3, we see Timothy steps into the picture, and Paul becomes his mentor, and we see books later written to Timothy. Verses 4 and 5, we see sharing decrees of the apostles and elders from the Jerusalem council. So they were sharing those with the churches. And the church was strengthened in the faith and increasing in number, and the word was being taught. And notice it in verses 6 and 7 that Paul is being led by the Spirit and not to go into certain places and then to go into other places. And the key thing is Paul wanting to be in the will of God. It is really important to catch a picture of that there. And Paul sees a vision in verse 9, so he goes to this city, Philippi, a leading city in Macedonia. And historically, Philippi was named after Philip II of Macedon, who was the father of Alexander the Great. So that's where it got its name. So verse 13, on the Sabbath, outside the gate and to a riverside, and that's where they were supposing there would be a place of prayer. And one of the things, some background in the story, notice there's no synagogue here. They don't talk about going to a synagogue. And they didn't have the needed 10 Jewish men that were heads of households, and that was a requirement to establish a synagogue, was to have 10 household Jewish men to do that. So that why was you don't see the synagogue there. They met at the riverside. So they meet Lydia in verse 14, the seller of purple fabric. And a little background, purple was usually worn by royalty and the very wealthy. And so she probably had a pretty good living, pretty good income, and a home large enough for Paul and his friends to stay there. And a little note, in this chapter, we see a couple times where it says we and us. Paul is including himself in that picture. There's four places in the book of Acts where Paul comes into the picture and he says we and us, excuse me, in those chapters, and that's where he's the author of Acts, and so he's got firsthand information there, so a little background there. So they meet Lydia. Note the Lord opened her heart, and that's the way it is with all of us. The Lord opens our heart. It's we don't go seeking for the Lord. The Lord opens our hearts, and none seek after the Lord. And so it's the Lord's doing, not our doing. And we see that in the picture here. Notice her and her family's obedience to be baptized and her hospitality right away. And you see a very precious picture of that. You don't really have to have a big house to be hospitable. Hospitality is sharing what you do have with others. You could have a very meager little cottage and have a very small meal, and you could be sharing hospitality with other believers. So you don't have to be rich to display hospitality and share that. Romans 12:13 talks about contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. So we're commanded to be hospitable to one another. It's an important trait of Christianity, is to be hospitable to one another. And so now in the story, we see verses 16 through 21. It takes a little different picture there. Notice the two words in there, much profit in verse 16. That kind of sets the tone for what's happening in the picture in the next few verses. It's really important to see that. And verse 17, the picture of, notice her following after Paul and crying out. And she was proclaiming truth, that these men are servants of the Most High God. But if you've read James 2:19, says the demons also believe and shudder. And she continued doing this for many days, it says. And so you wonder, did it start to look like Paul had been paying her to say that? You know, it almost makes you wonder. And so he was very irritated with it after she'd been doing this for many days. So Paul commands the demon to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice the quickness in the story here. It says that very moment. That's really amazing. And this was one of the gifts of the apostles, is to cast out demons. In Mark 3:15, it says to have authority to cast out the demons as one of the gifts of the apostles there. Verse 19, she'd been proclaiming about Paul and company, his friends, many days for free. And this most likely would have irritated her masters. And notice also in the story, it says masters. Not just one person, it says masters. These would be business partners. And so it's easier to see, I was telling Patty yesterday as I was kind of rereading this, it's easier to see why things got kind of stirred up so quickly with more than one owner. You know, they would be going against each other. Well, why didn't she do this? You know, and so it's easier to see how their hope of profit was gone now, and why they were were so irritated. And remember, it says much profit. So these guys were really doing well from this woman. And verses 19 to 23, we see this is almost a riot here. You don't see any kind of legal order. There's no hearing. There's no defense. And there's no investigation of what's gone on. And notice even the chief magistrates are not a calming force here. They tore off their robes and had them beaten and struck them with many blows and threw them into prison and fastened their feet in stocks. This punishment is on the extreme for what they're accused of, and it's pretty amazing, quite the picture here. And verse 25, it just kind of changes the tone, and the first word there is really key. You know, it starts, it displays excitement and anticipation, the word "but." So we see the Lord is going to change something in this verse now. And so Paul and Silas, we see them praying and singing hymns of praise to God. That's pretty amazing in their situation. And Psalm 62, 6 through 8 might have been some of the praise to God they were saying. And I'll read that to you. Psalm 62, 6 through 8. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. O God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And maybe a song they were singing, fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. And for those of you who might recognize it, that's the second verse of How Firm a Foundation. Notice also in there that the prisoners were listening to their singing. And that's really very precious, that here's Paul and Silas singing and praying, and the prisoners, who are totally against everything that's happened to them, as most prisoners would be, are listening to them, and they're calming trust in God. And do we pray and sing in tough situations as we're having? And do we shine for Christ where God has put us? They were put in jail. Do we serve God with a whole heart wherever God has put us? And we see in verse 26, only God can make an earthquake where the doors open and everyone's chains were unfastened. This is a really fascinating part. I think I remember Bible stories when I was a little kid. I thought this was just cool, you know. But another part of the story, if a jailer lost a prisoner, it meant he could be put to death. So they took their jobs very seriously. We see him here ready to kill himself. Instead of the brutal death that would have been inflicted upon him for losing a prisoner, let alone all the prisoners with all the doors and all the chains falling off. verse 28, you just got to love the picture here of Paul hollering out in a loud, caring voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. That includes all of them besides Paul and Silas. Those guys could have just ran all away, but something made them stay. And, you know, that is a very precious part of the story. We are all here. That's really amazing. The Lord has moved in the jailer's heart in verses 29 and 31. What must I do to be saved? And so we see, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And in verse 32, Notice they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all his house. So we see a picture of a changed heart, and immediately he washed their wounds. And remember, they'd been beaten with rods. This was no small thing. These wounds would have been very severe and would leave some pretty nasty scars. In 2 Corinthians 11:25, Paul's talking about all the things he's been through. And it says, three times I was beaten with rods. So this is one of those three times. Verse 34, look at the words, rejoice greatly. And remember when you got saved, how you rejoiced greatly. Are we still rejoicing greatly? Or do we take it for granted, our salvation? Do we thank the Lord regularly for saving us, drawing us unto him? We need to do that. It's very important to develop a thankful spirit for our salvation. It's part of our testimony. And the other thing, too, in the story, have you noticed the great earthquake seems to be totally forgotten? It's like all of a sudden it just disappears out of the picture. The jailer still had a house and set food before them. So it's kind of interesting if this was just an earthquake that happened in one building, you know. I mean, God can do those things, you know. He's God. So I don't know what happened there, but, you know, the Lord does, and it's just amazing. Verses 35 through 40, this brings a little more light on their imprisonment. Remember, they had no hearing, no trial, no defense. Paul was a Roman citizen beaten without trial. And the magistrates could lose their position, and Philippi, this leading city of the district, could lose its leading stature. So some background I thought I'd share with you from Expositor's Bible Commentary, Volume 9, page 459. I thought this was kind of interesting. During Roman times, the fame of Philippi stemmed from its having been the site of the decisive battle of the Second Civil War in 42 B.C., when Mark Antony and Octavian, later Augustus, defeated Brutus and Cassius. After the war, many Roman army veterans were settled at Philippi, and the city was designated a Roman colony. Its government was directly responsible to the emperor and not made subservient to the provincial administration. And some notes from the MacArthur Study Bible say, for verse 16:12, so it carried the right of freedom and the right of exemption from tax and the right of holding land in full ownership. Those are amazing things during that time period under Roman occupation and stuff. So that's pretty amazing. And the notes from 16:37, to inflict corporal punishment on a Roman citizen was a serious crime, and made more so since Paul and Silas did not receive a trial. And as a result, the magistrates faced the possibility of being removed from office, and Philippi's privileges as a Roman colony could be revoked. And so in verse 37, do we see Paul being vindictive here? It looks more like a friendly reminder that they had failed to do the job that they were assigned as magistrates to keep the peace. And another thing, see how the magistrates reacted and look at the words appealed and begging. They had known that they really messed up and that they could lose a lot there. And, you know, it could affect their whole community from their actions. So notice Paul's aims in verse 40. He doesn't retaliate. He left the prison. He visited the brethren and encouraged them, and he departed. So some of the things Paul left behind, he left an open door for the believers of the city to minister. And so by the will of God, he worked at his mission. Remember, we talked last week about some of his mission what he was called to do. One of them was the glory of the gospel to the Gentiles. He had shared that. And then to present every man complete in Christ. He was always working to do that. And he labored according to the power of the Lord working in him. And so we see Paul serving the Lord with a whole heart here. And do we follow Paul's example as he follows Christ? Are we regularly, are we rejoicing in the sufferings that we do have? I know we're not being thrown in jail like this, but we do have, you know, some trials and things come our way. Are you being a testimony by rejoicing in those sufferings? Are we developing through Christ a thankful spirit and heart? And that's really important for a Christian. So let's go to our table time for a bit here. And there's questions on the back. And you can go through those on your table, and we'll get back together after a bit. Well, let's get back together, and we'll talk about some of our verses that we had at our tables. But first, I want to say I apologize. I guess my brain was disengaged. It's Luke wrote Acts. Forgive me. And there's four places in Acts where Luke writes we or us, and so it's Luke in those sections. I think I said Paul. So forgive me for that. So what verses in times of suffering do you guys look to? Does anybody want to share some of those verses? Anybody? Go ahead.
Psalm 23.
Uh-huh.
And Psalm 46.
Okay.
21.
Yeah, somebody at our table mentioned Psalm 46 also. Somebody also mentioned, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Okay. And then another one was, think on what is true, that verse. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share? Anne?
Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God.
Mm-hmm.
This may not be perfect here, but I will help you. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Jim mentioned 1 Peter 4:12-19. That's some neat, really cool verses.
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter 4:12-19.
Uh-huh. Another comment at our table was, I just go where I'm studying, and that is good, because you're studying the Word of God and you just dig in deeper. That's very good. I know I wrote down what I do sometimes. I just start looking at all the underlined verses in sections where and I start reading those, and I go, wow, that's cool. So I start reading and kind of lose track of time sometimes. So it's just, that's a good thing. Let's look at the Psalm 62:6-8. What does the at all times mean to you? Yeah, there you go. Some of us, we think there was a comment, well, I got this. We don't need to worry about something, but we need to be with the Lord at all times. He only is a part of the key verse there. And so those are our precious verses, Psalm 62:6-8. Question 3, do you sing in times of struggles? What songs and why? Anybody want to share some of the songs they might be singing in their heart when they go through struggles?
Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
As well with my soul.
Mm-hmm. I know I've been singing. Go ahead.
Jesus, by my cross was taken.
Uh-huh. Anne?
I come to the garden alone.
Mm-hmm. I know I've really been enjoying, I've been singing that He Will Hold Me Fast song a lot lately. Yeah. That's very precious. Somebody over here had a hand?
Just what a friend.
Yeah, amen.
One of the psalms that we sing in church, you know, mm-hmm. are actually from Scripture, and those often come to my mind.
Okay, yeah.
I can hardly sing that one little phrase, where else can we go, Lord, where mm-hmm. else can we go, without crying. Yeah. It's so true. Where else are we going to go?
Yeah. I know I sing that little one. I can't remember singing it for a while. Thou, Lord, our shield about me. I sing that frequently, too. So it's really important to have a song in your heart. When we become a Christian, the Lord puts a new song in our heart. And we need to think on those things. And so this has been a fun study for me. I've been enjoying looking at Paul. I pray you guys are too. There's lots of to see about Paul and his character as he lives for the Lord throughout Scripture, and he wrote us all the different books that he wrote, and so it's a great study. Well, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for time in your Word. We thank you for Paul, that he followed hard after you. He did what you called him to do, and because of that, we have your Word, and we just thank you and praise you for the day. Continue to teach us from your Word this day, and we just thank you so. Amen.